I hear a lot of parents say, use your words, when their child is having a meltdown. But if you don't have the tools to even identify your feelings, you can't use your words yet. So there's a step of guidance between that direction and the actual meltdown that kids need to learn, how to go inside and kind of locate where they're feeling upset and what made them feel upset, and then they can articulate what's going on and try to reach out to the people around them. And sometimes it takes a few minutes alone, which this book is also about. You don't see anybody in this book except the little boy, Henny, by himself.
You are now listening to the Soul and Wonder Podcast, episode 73, Helping Kids Through a Bad Day with Ruby Roth.
Welcome to the Soul and Wonder Podcast, where the conduits of the body, depths of the mind, and atlas of the soul are explored with devotion. Through cultural exchange, Christopher and Sarah and their guests will deliver sacred wisdom from around the globe, uncovering the hidden gems of conscious living and holistic healing, all to empower you on your journey of self-discovery. And now, here are your hosts, Christopher and Sarah.
What is happening, everybody? So happy to have you here today for another episode of the Soul and Wonder Podcast. Every other week, we bring you new interviews with world-renowned thought leaders and authors to support you in your personal growth and spiritual evolution. Whether you're a newbie or a longtime listener, we are so happy that you've decided to join us for another jam-packed episode. Today, we have artist, illustrator, and author Ruby Roth, and we are so excited to dive into this interview. But before we do so, we want to remind you to make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. And of course, if you love what you hear, please leave us a review and share with your friends and family. The more you get it out there, the more it helps us.
So we had the pleasure of interviewing Ruby Roth actually last year when we hosted the Vegan Warrior Summit in 2018, and we were talking all about her vegan children's books. And in this interview, we get to talk about her latest book, which isn't vegan per se, but instead talks about one of our favorite topics, having a bad day and dealing with negative emotions. So Ruby is super cool. She was featured on Today, CNN, and other major media outlets. As Christopher said, she is an artist, she's a designer, and via the renowned branch of her creative house, the world's leading author-illustrator of a series of vegan books for kids, the first of their kind in children's literature. But her newest title, Bad Day, is a feelings book, broadening her themes to include emotional wellness. And this is something that we need to be talking about because parents, I know that you feel this. Sometimes it's really hard to hold that space for your child as they experience negative emotions, and it can be triggering for you, and it's just a bad day. But we need to be able to hold that space consciously for them to learn and move through and embrace their emotions.
And as we're getting ready to welcome our first child into the world, this really episode hit home for us, and we want to make sure that, you know, please listen to every single word Ruby says. This book is crucial for any parent out there listening. So very excited to dive into that. And today on the interview, she covers inspiration behind her children's books and what motivated her to write her latest book, Bad Day, the difference between Bad Day and other books out there right now about feelings and emotions, as well as how to help our children increase their emotional intelligence and self-awareness surrounding negative emotions, practical tips for parents to help their children embrace all emotions, and at the end, she gives some information on her upcoming art showing in LA coming in September 2019.
We hope you guys enjoy this one just as much as we did, and we'll see you after the interview. All right, everybody. Super happy we've got Ruby with us. And Ruby, we're just really excited that you joined us again, because for listeners who might not have been a part of our Vegan Warrior Summit last year, Ruby was a part of that talking about her vegan children's books. And we're going a little bit into a different topic for this episode of our Soul and Wonder podcast, which I don't have to tell you, because Ruby's going to do all that. So thank you, Ruby, so much for joining our show.
Thank you for having me back. I'm glad to be talking to you guys again.
Yeah, it's great to circle back around. I mean, last time that we had a conversation and on the Vegan Warrior Summit, we really just enjoyed your energy and everything you brought to the table and just all of your years of experience working with children and really being a creative artist and creating these incredible books that really just hit home, I think, for us and many other people around the world. And it was just such a pleasure to bring you back on. So yeah, I want to say thank you as well.
Thank you. Well, it's actually the 10th year anniversary of my first book's release.
Oh, wow.
That was in 2009, when veganism wasn't even really a household term yet. And this year will also be the launch of my fifth book. So it's full circle, and I'm excited to have this collection growing.
Good for you. That's so incredible that you're able to do this work and to have it be even more widely accepted now that veganism is in the mainstream and is really taking off overall. So diving a little bit into this, so what inspired you to get into writing and illustrating books for kids, especially your latest book, Bad Day?
I was teaching art at an after-school program when I first got out of college and moved down here to LA. It was one of my first jobs out of school, and the kids were all very curious about what I was eating and why I wasn't eating what they were eating, which was string cheese and milk. That's what they were served at recess. And I went to find a book that we could cover and maybe do an art project on, and I thought for sure there would be something in existence. And what I found were just a couple of books, and it was like, you know, about a talking tomato or a talking animal. And I just did not want to read those books to my kids, who were very street smart and felt very grown up and kind of hardened already. And they were able to handle much more in-depth conversations than what I found those books to present. So with a background in art and American studies, which was race, class, gender, sexuality in American history, and having always wanted to be an artist and produce art with a purpose grander than self-expression, I decided to create the books that I wanted to read to these kids.
Wow. Wow, that's quite the evolution of not just your work, but a personal evolution as well through your work and how you're able to reach others and impact the world. And I love that. Mm-hmm. And what inspired you to get to create your book Bad Day, which is a different topic than your vegan books?
Yeah, this book expands my themes to emotional well-being beyond physical health and health of the planet. I wanted to address our inner lives. And I think this is really important for kids of this generation who are being completely overstimulated by technology. Mm-hmm. And while they're completely connected all the time, the reports are that they're feeling more isolated than ever. This is from, you know, the Surgeon General. And I was a very inward child. I had childhood challenges from scoliosis, where I wore a back brace for 13 years, 20 plus hours a day, to panic attacks that started very early on, probably stemming from feeling physically uncomfortable. And this is a book that I just wrote addressing our inner lives and managing bad, you know, quote unquote, bad feelings, which for kids can have a biological sensation, you know, and obviously for adults too, but for kids who might not have the tools that we have, bad feelings can be completely overwhelming. So mm-hmm. Bad Day is about a little boy who's you're just dropped in the middle of his meltdown, and he finds some refuge inside of a paper bag, which he draws a big frowny face on, and he goes inside his paper bag and we go in there with him, and it's dark and it's quiet, and he thinks about his day and all of the terrible things that have happened, and he figures out how to piece himself out and realizes that he's actually very strong and resilient and can come back to this place anytime to reground.
You know, and this topic is super important, as you mentioned, in modern day and in regards to all of the distractions that we do have, and does create that emotional turmoil, I think, maybe much more than it would in, I guess, 50 years ago. I don't know for sure. But regardless, having kids nurture their inner wisdom and tap into what is happening on the inside is so crucial from such a young age, because as they mature into young adulthood and adulthood, that they are then able to and are capable of managing their emotions in an emotionally intelligent way. And so I just see this book as so crucial for every child to read across the world, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, I find that I hear a lot of parents say, use your words, when their child is having a meltdown. But if you don't have the tools to even identify your feelings, you can't use your words yet. So there's a step of guidance between that direction and the actual meltdown that kids need to learn how to go inside and kind of locate where they're feeling upset and what made them feel upset. And then they can articulate what's going on and try to reach out to the people around them. And sometimes it takes a few minutes alone, which this book is also about. You don't see anybody in this book except the little boy, Henny, by himself.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that you mentioned that about using your words versus first tuning into the body and uncovering unmet needs and triggers too before you can use your words. Because, you know, what's funny is we think children are so different, but adults are the same, absolutely, right? Adults still have tantrums. What do we think road rage is? What do we think our meltdowns are? There's still tantrums. We still have bad days. And one of the common things with when I'm working with coaching clients is we always move into the body and the emotion and the needs before we ever try to articulate anything. Because then you're just processing. You're just processing, thinking you know what's happening. We're able to process that as adults because of life experience. Children don't have that processing tool. And we expect them to be able to process before we can even process. And so it's so perfect.
Yeah, we need the tools to disrupt that initial feeling that we have, whether it's rage or sadness or, you know, whatever it is that pops up, it becomes physical, you know, and before you have words and language attached to it. So it's very important to just press pause and just go inward for a minute.
Yeah.
So what makes, you know, there's a lot of books out there about emotions and feelings. What makes Bad Day different from other books for kids out there right now for this topic?
I think it's honesty and relatability. Most of the feelings books that I've seen out there employ this baby talk, very soft tone. Mm. And they almost have like a very sanitized corporate feel. And to me, it looked like a lot of them, you know, made nice about bad feelings, which to me seems patronizing, you know, like it's an attempt to pacify and patronize instead of getting to the root of the issue that a child is having. So in Bad Day, you see his meltdown and goes on for a very long time. And I don't see... haven't seen the illustrations of a tantrum actually happening in other kids' books. So in this book, you see what it feels like and what it looks like to have a meltdown and a tantrum and to feel really bad.
And I can imagine...
So relatable to the kids, too.
That's what I was going to say. I can imagine that a kid reading that or seeing that might feel like, oh, I'm not so different or weird for having these bad days, for having these bad thoughts.
This looks like me. I found that there's like all these universal tantrum poses. So it's like a kid might see it and recognize themselves, because I mean, it's obvious that if you're having a meltdown and you don't have the words, like this frustration comes out in the body. And if you look at photos of kids having tantrums, they all have the same poses and body language. It's like fists clenched or feet kicking. It's like these are the feelings that need to be processed, and they're happening physically. And this book helps to start processing them psychologically.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing too is that, you know, as adults, we, as obviously we've grown up under certain conditions and programming and things like that, you know, generally a lot of times our parents maybe didn't know how to handle these tantrums or these situations so well. And so what that, I think, does to a kid is that it then almost shames the tantrum, and these children develop some sort of guilt around that. And so I think when that is, or when that happens, as they grow up, they're not able to process their emotions as well. And so by bringing this to the forefront, you're able to give kids the awareness around this for them to then grow up, as I mentioned before, into these, I guess, more emotionally intelligent and stronger adults.
Where they don't shame anger, they don't shame sadness, they rather instead embrace it and move through it.
Yeah, I really see this kind of learning, self-awareness and the study of emotional intelligence at this young of an age as an initiation and a kind of rite of passage that we don't otherwise have in our culture, which starts to tell kids that you are responsible for your feelings.
You nailed it. I love it.
How capable do you believe children are when it comes to naturally increasing their emotional intelligence and awareness?
I think much more capable than we give them credit for, especially in Western culture. We tend to baby children. We think that they're very frail and pure-minded and completely dependent on adults. And you see in other cultures that kids are, there's not such a delicate concept of childhood in other cultures, where kids are handling machetes when they're very young and opening coconuts and looking after their younger siblings and working at the markets and weaving complicated embroidery. We have a different view of childhood here in the West, and it's mostly only because we cater to it. And when I've taught in school, I could see we had conversations, very in-depth conversations about complicated topics and stuff that they would bring up about meditation and food and violence that they'd seen on the streets or in their homes. I mean, they're just waiting for somebody to speak to them, you know, like person to person and not adult to child.
Well, you know, and this led me to realize that not only do we try to protect our kids from their own emotions, we try to protect them from our emotions. You know, like looking back on my childhood, my parents thought that hiding their anger or fear or sadness or resentment towards each other or something like that, they thought that was protecting me, when in actuality, sometimes just increasing awareness around what we're feeling as parents and displaying that in a way where our kids are exposed in an appropriate manner, of course, and just explaining to them how we're feeling in that moment. What are we experiencing? What's triggering it? And that they learn from example. And so if they have a parent who's comfortably able to navigate their own emotions and not try to shield their child from it, but to bring them in when it's appropriate, like I said, and kind of show them how we navigate it, then once again, kids aren't isolated and fending for themselves.
Absolutely. And the topics in my books, you know, have been talked about, like, you know, these are too difficult of topics to discuss with children. But my point of view has always been that we're raising much stronger citizens and people by addressing tough topics and helping kids learn how to manage their feelings around them. Mm-hmm. And so often, you know, if you pick up a parenting magazine or you listen to a parenting podcast, it's like these giant questions like, you know, how do I talk to my kid about this? Or how do we deal with that? You just talk about it. That's how. You just talk about it like you would to another person. And the less you beat around the bush, the less stigma there is around the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so why do you think adults really struggle with helping children properly experience and move through these intense emotions that they experience?
You know, I think we just shy away from emotion, period. I think parents try to avoid landmines and upsets and meltdowns, and they get into the habit of trying to avoid it, just to maybe save themselves time. And, you mm-hmm. know, it's a vicious circle. I think, you know, we're all dealing with it together. We're all in it together. It's like the adults are handling the same things the same way that children are. There's a lot of avoidance. That's what therapy is non-avoidance and addressing and engaging instead of not.
Mm-hmm. I think too, to add on to what you said, you know, our kids trigger our own unresolved baggage, right, within us, whether you're a parent or not, even just being in public and there's a crying baby. Sure. How many adults, you know, if you look around the room, you'll see so many adults just giving the evil eye to these parents with an unsettled baby. And it's like, what is it within you that's getting triggered by this emotional expression of this child? And I think that's what's really important to ask ourselves, that when we feel uncomfortable in this space, and to perhaps reflect back on our own childhoods, when were we in the position of that child, and mm-hmm. how did our parents deal with it? And, you know, tantrums, I think, you know, obviously tantrums are a result of some need, something going unmet, something unresolved. And oftentimes the tantrum is triggered by something that isn't even, you know, related. It's just an outlet of expression. And then when you get down to it, you find out what they're really feeling, whether that's isolation or loneliness or just needing some love. But I think with adults, when we're in that space and we see our kids just like break down and melt down, we feel out of control. We feel helpless. We feel like we're not doing something right, like we're not good enough. You know, something, I'm a bad parent, my child is unhappy.
Yeah, so, or just you're so stressed out already that like one extra thing is, you know, adding to your stress level.
Exactly. Or you've got a time limit, you got to be somewhere, and now your kid's in the parking lot melting down and you're like, shit, we're running late. Like, mm-hmm. so it's this culmination of things that make us feel unworthy or not good enough. And I think if we can kind of just pause and realize that what we're experiencing is not because of our child, and to go through that baggage later, you know, resolve our own stuff later. Right now, our child needs us to hold space for them in a way that they can connect with their emotional intelligence, their awareness, their mindfulness. And when we can hold that space for them, then we can continue the process for ourselves later when we're like, why was I getting so triggered with my child's tantrum?
You know, and ultimately, I think doing it early is going to free up space for adults later. You know, when the child is a little bit older, when you have a more emotionally intelligent kid that's able to handle life's ups and downs. Exactly. So a little bit extra work on the early side is actually less work later.
And your book is just such a wonderful tool for parents to
open up this door, open up this conversation.
Thank you.
So what is, you know, now that we're kind of like, we've been talking about your book, we've been talking about kids, we've been talking about even parents and adults. For some parents listening, obviously we recommend getting the book because that's going to help. But what do you think is another practical tip that you could offer parents right now for helping their child embrace their emotions?
I think you have to address it as it happens. I mean, the moment things come up, that's when it has to be, that's when practices need to be put into practice. And creating, I think that creating in the home an atmosphere of communication is really important, and that kind of has to take form in like group identity, that we're all doing this and we're all practicing and nobody is perfect at it. And, you know, I think that that's really important, that a child sees everybody's in it together.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think, you know, overall, being able to embrace how things come along, how things, you know, I mean, of course it's easier said than done, because I think when we're in the moment, a lot of times it's chaos. You know, if you have multiple children, there's multiple things going on, but I really do think if parents start tapping into themselves and doing that inner work overall, it's going to be, you know, a better result, I guess, for the child and our children overall. And I think if we're going to raise the consciousness on this planet, if we're going to be able to uplift this planet past where it's been, this is like the number one place to start. I mean,
our children,
all of our problems that we see in this world are generally a result of unmet needs, and then also the emotions and the limiting beliefs and emotions that stem from that. So I think this is so brilliant, and I'm just so excited to be having this conversation about this.
Thank you. And I think it's bigger picture. It's about teaching kids to be self-reliant and responsible for themselves, especially I see in the times we're living in right now, and feels like the age of anger and a lot of protesting and people pointing fingers and blaming. And really it comes down to, what are you going to do about it? You can expend all kinds of energy doing those things, protesting and blaming and looking outward for other people to change. But in all of my books, the theme is that change starts with the individual.
Speaking of all of your books, how would you say Bad Day is related to your other vegan children's books?
These are all connected by the exploration of mind and body and our individual effect on the outside world. For me, looking at my body of work, which ranges from feminine figurative nudes to children's books about veganism, it's in perfect harmony to me. And it may not look that way to the outside world at first glance, but my origin story of, seeing my bones on an x-ray, you know, when I was first diagnosed with scoliosis, gave me a very early fascination with the body. And I became very highly aware of my physical body, which made me very discerning with food. And I was starting to connect mind and body very early. Mm-hmm. And being physically confined in a brace, which was painful and uncomfortable, art served for me as an outlet of expression, and also as kind of a way to live vicariously through some characters that I would, you know, bring to life. So I was literally and figuratively drawing out strength and my idea of beauty. And my adolescent portfolio is like full of all these powerful girls. And my fascination with the body continues. And you see that through my children's books too, and what we put into our body and how what we put into our body affects the outer world. And it's really the same with this book about emotions. There's a quote in the beginning of the book by my friend and teacher, who's a rabbi, Mordecai Finley. And he says, it doesn't matter what other people do. It only matters what kind of person you want to become. Mm-hmm. And that quote just gets deeper and deeper and deeper as life continues. But it all comes back to the self and what we are doing ourselves to heal mind, body, soul, and the planet and take care of all living beings.
Mm, I love that you relate your children's books to your larger body of adult artwork. That's
they wouldn't be there without it. I mean, all those girls and those powerful women, like they came first. The children's books, mm-hmm. you know, were a branch off of what I do that took off, and I put my concentration there, but there would be no children without the women.
Very true. I love that.
Very, very true. So I'm certainly not having a kid anytime soon, so I can contribute to that, but I'm definitely not pushing out one. And I'm glad to be in the position I am. Sarah's got all the strength in the world to do this. So
built in.
Yeah. And so out of curiosity, what type of practices do you do on a daily basis to keep yourself connected to your mind, body, spirit?
I can't say that I have a traditional meditation practice. Drawing is that for me. It helps me reground and pour out feelings onto paper that other people might do through writing. But it usually provides a actual biological shift for me. If I'm feeling really uncomfortable or really agitated, drawing really helps. And knowing myself as an introvert and how overstimulated I get by the outside world or even by working on the computer for too long, too many hours in the day, I have come to realize that simple, quiet space, unplugged, is something that I need between things to come back to center. Mm. So often I just need to sit and be quiet and connect the dots in my mind. And I have, you know, triggers like anybody else does. Some email will come in and something happens. And I, you know, it's like life is just a series of like little irritations all day long. But some of them stick and they make you feel bad all day. And you don't even know why you feel bad, but something earlier in the day, like kind of scratched at you. So that happens to me often. And, it feels revelatory to me to be quiet and to go inside my head and just see what pops up and monitor myself. And really just the act of locating what set me off can change everything.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's why your book, Bad Day, is not just great for children. It's good for the parents reading it too.
I said in the book trailer that it is for ages 0 to 101.
I love that.
If you haven't figured it out by then, like, I guess you don't have to figure it out. But yeah, I know I wrote this because I needed it too. And, you know, this is somewhat an illustration, you know, even though I didn't have tantrums as a child, I had very overwhelming feelings. And started learning very early, especially, you know, wearing a hard plastic brace and having panic. I realized very young that I think I was witnessing what I know now is the observer mind. Mm-hmm. I remember being very, very young, like, you know, 6, 7, 8, and having the thought, I am not my body. Mm-hmm. Because my body was stuck in a brace. And to feel free and to feel okay, I had to go inside. And like, I remember, you know, playing with pain. There was like a spot under my arm where the brace would go, and it would just rub and rub and rub and create these welts. And I remember, you know, I still had several more hours in the day that I had to wear that brace. And I remember like focusing, going inside and focusing on the pain to see if I could kind of dissipate it, locate it and dissipate it. And I actually did. I could start playing with that. It wasn't, you know, permanent, but for moments here and there, I could get rid of my pain just by focusing on it.
Mind is super, super powerful.
And that's just a testament to going into the darkness instead of around it, you know, whether that's emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, all of that. You know, so many people, we live in a culture that if we're in pain on any level, mental, emotional, physical, whatever, we want to fix it, right? We want to run away from it. We want to take that pill. We want to do something to alter our mind.
Yeah.
But I love that you said you would play with moving into the pain, because that's exactly what we do with our clients too. Emotionally, you move into it to get to the root of it. And with myself being pregnant and prepping my body for labor, you know, instead of trying to avoid the pain that may come with contractions, I'm training my brain to remember to move into it. And like you said, dissipate it, you know, and when we're able to be mindful of what we're experiencing, instead of running away from what we're experiencing, it transforms into whatever it is we need it to be for our growth.
Absolutely. I mean, to be able to welcome pain and say thank you to it, and know that you may not know the reason why you're having it at the moment, but there's reasons that you can look for and that may, you know, appear later. It's all growth. It's all is usually growth and challenges to push you to grow in places that you don't even know you need to.
Well, it's often your greatest teacher. And that's why I think embracing it as it comes. And you know, as we've talked about, moving into that is so, so important. And, you know, I just really appreciate this conversation, Ruby. And really, I think
thank you for your story.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that. I really encourage everybody to check out your work, especially the latest book, Bad Day. And so what updates, if any, would you like to share with our listeners? And also, where can they follow you?
They can follow me on Facebook, .com/RubyRoth. On Instagram, I'm Ruby_Roth. My website, you can get to rubyroth.co and join my mailing lists there if you want me to be in touch directly. And I have a big gallery show coming up, which I'm hosting. It will be the 10-year retrospective of work from the books, along with my personal artwork. And I'm excited to show, you know, original drawings and paintings from all the titles that no one's ever seen in real life. So that's going to be the book launch and gallery retrospective for the last 10 years of work.
And where is that going to be?
That'll be here in LA.
Okay.
In September. So happy to invite people, and you'll hear about it if you're following me and on my mailing list.
Awesome.
That's exciting.
Well, we have listeners everywhere, and I encourage anybody out in that area to definitely check that out. And of course, get that book and follow you. I mean, you're such an inspiration, and we really enjoy having this conversation and all the conversations we've had. And so until next time.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody, on this interview. We hope that you found this information helpful. And we know children, kids, parenting, all of that, it's not easy. It's not always easy to think about what we could do to be more conscious parents, especially in that moment. But starting off with simple tools such as buying Bad Day and reading that to your children is a great place to start. So if you like this episode, remember, please share it on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Soul in Wonder or on Instagram at Soul in Wonder Love. And leaving us a little review helps to get this information spread to all of you lovely people that want to hear it. So, see you next time.